Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on. I'll be joined very shortly by Hernda Scott for Ohio. We're going to talk about the LGBTQ issues, especially when it comes to, you know, locker rooms, bathrooms, the like. But other big things are happening. It appears as though there's a reason that we've seen John Brennan, you know, there's actually an emoji that actually perfectly represents John Brennan. It's the one where it's kind of surprised and it's shook and like the whole thing's vibrating. Like that's been his spirit for the last little while when he's getting in the face of reporters and he's, you know, making these statements that just don't make any sense. He's panicking. He's freaking out. He's practically vibrating with fear, knowing that all of his years and years and years of cover-ups, of crimes, like, first they commit the crime, then they do the cover-up, which itself is a crime, then they got to cover up the cover-up, and it's just, it's all bearing down on him. And it appears as though they made a major mistake. It looks like the Trump administration is seizing on the fact that they raided his house in Mar-a-Lago because now they can put the grand juries in Florida and have a much, much better chance of success than the controlled judiciary that exists in Washington, D.C. So this has them shaking in their boots. This has the potential to be a very, very good thing. And at the very least, it is frightening the enemy. So we celebrate it. Let's go to clip 35 here. Grand jury subpoenas rolling out. The deep state is running scared. Let's watch.
Of Donald Trump.
So, Ken, help me understand, if there were these previous investigations found no criminal wrongdoing involving Brennan, what changed? And what more do you know about this U.S. attorney? Is this a Trump loyalist?
It's someone connected to Pam Bondi down in Florida, definitely a Trump loyalist. What's changed in part, Anna, is that there was a criminal referral by the director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, that when you read it, really didn't make a lot of logical sense. It strung together some things and tried to suggest that there was wrongdoing in the preparation of that intelligence assessment that really didn't stand up. But nonetheless, she issued this. She made it public. And that, we understand, is one of the basis for including Brennan in this investigation and suggesting that there's somehow new wrongdoing, newly declassified information, even though John Durham, as we understand it, had access to everything connected to that intelligence assessment and connected to the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane investigation.
So, Lisa, if they have issued grand jury subpoenas, does this indicate they are, in fact, planning to try to seek an indictment?
Not necessarily, not yet. However, Mike Davis, who is the person that Ken was just referring to, has gone on social media and sort of loudly advertised that in the Southern District of Florida, where Jason Quinones is the U.S. attorney, they're expected to convene a grand jury in late January. Convening of grand juries, Anna, happens all the time. And the fact that it is known, in part, may have to do with the fact that just in logistically, a clerk's office has to actually find grand jurors through the normal jury selection process. But why it is that Mike Davis is assigning a lot of importance to that January 26th grand jury in Fort Pierce, Florida, leaves people like me and Ken scratching our heads. What do people who are in the MAGA sphere know that we don't know? It could be that as part of these grand jury subpoenas and as the investigation continues, they are anticipating being able to present to a grand jury sometime either in late January or in the weeks and months thereafter.
So do you have a sense of the potential charges that could be in play?
I don't. And
I think treason might be one of them. I think treason could be in play. And here's the cool thing about treason. There's no statute of limitations. There's no little trickery they could pull like they tried with Comey, where they just, you know, hold off on filing the indictment until 5 years passes, and then oopsie daisy, we can't do anything about it. And there's no statute of limitations when it comes to treason, which is exactly what these guys did. You know, it's like too little, too late. But like, let's go, let's get a move on. You know, I guess January, late January, we'll see the actual indictments of John Brennan. It's just like, how long until the perp walk? How long until we see these guys, their mugshots, hands behind the back, in jail? That's what we need. Please.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's JonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him. While
if you don't mind, a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. You can follow us on X at Infowars, at War Room Show, at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live, at Harrison H. Smith. Make sure you're following us on all the social medias and sharing this content. We just have more and more incredible information to get to. The story is at Infowars.com. Idaho YMCA allows man into women's locker room. I thought we were over this. I thought we'd settled this argument and we'd won that no, men are not allowed in women's locker rooms. Isn't that what we voted on around this time last year? Didn't Trump win promising to get rid of this absurdity and this insanity? Well, here to talk about it with me is Scott Herndon. He was elected to the Idaho Senate for District 1 in November 2022. He sponsored dozens of bills in the Senate, and many of his proposals received either unanimous bipartisan or unanimous Republican support and were signed into law. He was a founding member of the Idaho Freedom Caucus. He's also the top-rated conservative legislature in the 2023 Idaho legislative session based on the ratings of bills by the Idaho Freedom Foundation. And he joins us today to talk about this scandal at the Idaho YMCA. Mr. Herndon, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Harrison.
Well, so tell us about what is happening. What's the latest with this? And am I wrong? I thought we settled this. I thought we had a vote and they decided women have to have their own changing spaces. Why is Idaho, this bastion of conservatism, become a hotbed for this scandal?
Well, I'll start off by saying that the conservatives may be surprised to find out that even in red states like Idaho, there's plenty, not very many, but in every neighborhood, in every town, certainly in every city, there are people that are left of center and that still buy into the what I call the transgender mafia. It's the lie that men can be women and women can be men. And right here in my county, which is the very north of Idaho, we border Canada. And I'm in Bonner County, and we have Sandpoint, Idaho, which is a small city, but it is filled with people who support this ideology. And about 10 years ago, actually a little bit more, it was back in 2011, the Sandpoint City Council passed an anti-discrimination ordinance, and they included gender identity. Now, that does not explain what the YMCA in Sandpoint is doing today, because that doesn't override state law, doesn't override federal law. However, the YMCA, it turns out, has a policy where they do allow someone who identifies as if they're a biological male and they identify as a female, they actually have an official policy here in Sandpoint where they would allow them into the women's locker room. And that's exactly what happened on October 15th here in Sandpoint, Idaho.
Yeah, and that's what the story details at Infowars.com. On October 15th, a lifeguard says she encountered a man in the female changing area of the Lighthouse YMCA in Sandpoint, a small city in North Idaho. She says she observed that the individual had a male chest, even though he was wearing a bra, apparently. And he was, before checking for vulnerable females or children in the locker room and notifying superiors about the situation, several higher-ups told Hook it was company policy to allow that kind of intrusion on sensitive female spaces, and presented her with documentation affirming as much. So they're going to bat for this man in a women's locker room. And of course, I mean, why do we even have to talk about this anymore? It seems so absurd that this was ever a topic of conversation. And it's almost like exhausting having to go through, again, the idea that like you don't want to open up this vulnerability, because no matter what you believe about transgenderism, maybe you believe it's a real mental illness and that, you know, you want to make, you know, exceptions for certain people. It's like all you're doing is allowing the worst predators free access to women. That's not saying they're all predators, but like clearly there are going to be some men that just are given a green light to go look at little girls in the locker room. Why? Why are we even talking about this anymore? Help me understand, Scott Herndon. Why are we still in this mess, and how do we get out of it?
Well, so we're in this mess because, you know, when I was growing up, there was no such thing as transgender. So female, a girl who was kind of masculine growing up with the boys, we called her a tomboy.
Yep.
And there have always been men who cross-dress. They like to dress like women. But literally, this transgender phenomenon is brand new. It's 10 years old, maybe going back 12 or 13 years. It entered into the lexicon in our culture. And we've seen it invade the public schools, this ideology. And we see a very high percentage of kids, an unusually high percentage, way beyond whatever was ever experienced in previous generations, identify now as LGBTQ. And what's happening, as we all know, is they're, when they go into a family facility that is a women's only locker room, this facility, the YMCA, is used by the school swim team, Sandpoint High School, by private swim teams. These are kids, female girls. I have five daughters that are in this locker room, and they're just innocently using the facility, think they're surrounded by females. And then suddenly on this one day, they find a man with man parts in their locker room. And that's a complete invasion of their dignity. It's a complete invasion of their privacy. And apparently nothing that we have in place yet. And I was the sponsor of the school bathroom bill in 2023, a co-sponsor here in Idaho, where we said it's absolutely illegal to do this in the public schools. We've since added to that law and says you cannot do this in correctional facilities. You cannot do this in juvenile correctional facilities and all of these state universities and colleges. But apparently, we don't have a law in the books that exactly speaks to this question. So do we have to continue to make a dozen other laws? Well, apparently that seems to be the case. Otherwise, the YMCA is going to keep doing this unless people rise up and demand that this not happen at their YMCA. And there are alternatives. There are solutions besides passing another law.
So what would some of those solutions be? Because yeah, it just seems ridiculous to even have to write laws about this. It's like, Why should we even be forced to, you know, okay, the YMCA, you can't have men in women's locker rooms, and at school, you can't have women's. I mean, is there a one-size-fits-all solution to this, or are you going to have to go in and, you know, incrementally or piece by piece, you know, ban men from women's locker rooms? What is the solution here?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would pass a law because our lewd, there's several obscenity laws where you cannot do indecent exposure.
Right.
But if you look at it, that has with it this idea that you're going to attempt to arouse people sexually. And I could see trying to make that argument to a jury. And this guy says, well, no, I just think I'm a girl. And so he could maybe get off with the jury, especially today's juries who may be a little bit more sensitive. Though I will tell you, both Democrats and Republicans and libertarians and independents, I think the majority of them agree that we do not want this in the female locker room. But what I would do is I would fix that indecent exposure law. And I would say, look, you cannot knowingly, if you are a biological male, and we had to define those terms in Idaho code. We have the definition of male. We have the definition of female, boy, girl. You cannot use the locker room or changing room when it's a multi-use facility used by other people as well that does not match your biological sex. So I would do that, but here's how you solve the problem. If you have this guy who has this mental illness who thinks he's a female, give him a single-use facility. And the YMCA has these.
Right.
Don't make girls go use the single-use facility. Make this guy go use the single-use bathroom and locker room. And don't put everybody else out. And that's the immediate solution. And they have these available at this YMCA in Sandpoint.
So why wouldn't they do that? I mean, that's such an easy solution. If you have, you know, the family bathroom or the disabled bathroom, whatever it is, that can be, that's just one stall. Yeah, he can use that. I mean, what is the issue here? Because it seems like the only reason they would not do that, they'd say, well, it would make him uncomfortable to be singled out like that. It's like, well, the girls are being made uncomfortable by having a a man flopping around in the locker room. So if you're going to make somebody uncomfortable, he's the one who should be made uncomfortable. Why wouldn't they just do that? It seems simple.
Well, I agree. And that is the right answer. They could just do that, because what we have right now is we have what I would call the tyranny of the minority. You have this one guy, as you're describing it. Let's not put all the girls out. And they're the ones that are going to be completely offended. This lifeguard, Jenny Hook, who's experienced this guy in the locker room, these are actually traumatic experiences for females.
Right.
It literally makes you feel vulnerable. It destroys your innocence. It makes you feel violated when this kind of a situation happens. And they literally are emotionally traumatized. They're females. They get emotionally traumatized when a man basically shows his parts to them. And even if he doesn't, this is not where they expect the male to be. And so the YMCA management can right now make a decision to change this policy. It's within their control. They have the facilities in place already to accommodate this person, and they could simply do that in a single-use facility. And why they don't do that? It's wokeism, right? Mm. It's the thing that Donald Trump and MAGA ran against. It's the idea that we're going to all entertain mental illness together, that we're going to validate your mental illness. And I just don't think that's a good plan for America. It's not a good plan for traditional family values. And I want to see this policy changed at the YMCA before we have to go to the legislature and pass a law in January of 2026.
Yeah, it seems like it shouldn't be necessary to pass a law, but I guess in crazy world, I guess you have to pass specific laws about this. And there's just something very inconsistent about the argumentation, right? It's always, well, gender is a social construct, and gender is different than, sex, because sex is biological. But then we're talking about biology here. We're talking about he's a biological male, but somehow that gets lost in the mix. I mean, it's absolutely inconsistent. It's absolutely nonsense, all of it. And again, it's the women that are paying the price. What have you done in the past to help to try to rectify this situation and do you think you're going to have to start writing laws about this, or do you think enough pressure on the YMCA will get them to change voluntarily?
Well, I think both, and we've certainly put information out. I've posted this story to my ex account. I've posted it to Facebook. The current Republican Party chairman of our local county party, and we're going to be addressing it at the local county party. And I think it is raising awareness. And like I say, it's not even a party issue. This is a common sense issue. There are two sexes, period, and it's based on your biology and your chromosomes, and you can think you're something else and you can surgically alter yourself, and we made that illegal in the state of Idaho as well. That's another area that we had to touch. We had to make it a criminal offense. It's a felony to give a child drugs or surgery in the idea that they're going to change their biological sex. You can't change it. These are things that are unalterable. You are made by God that way, and we need to respect the way everybody is made and not give into this fiction and violate everybody else. But certainly we got to spread the word. People need to contact the YMCA. And it's apparently it's not just this YMCA. This is also a problem that extends into Washington State. We are the Pacific Northwest. Even though we're the red state of Idaho, we're surrounded by liberal states. To our west, we've got Washington, Oregon, California, pretty close by. And that their policies, basically, we find out that these policies are national. So, for example, this policy on the YMCA, there have been other problems with this around the country, and there have been people fired from the YMCA for opposing these policies as long as 10 years ago at the YMCA. The YMCA used to stand for the Young Men's Christian Association. So this certainly isn't Christian to impose men into female locker rooms, and the YMCA needs to have pressure put on them to go back to their roots, to at least respect girls and women. We've covered it in women's sports. We were the first state to pass the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. It should be our culture now, but we're constantly having to push back against this problem until it's completely eradicated.
Yeah, and it seems like we're just sort of like putting patches, like there's men about to patch that. There's men, beating all the women in sports, patch that. It's like we almost just need one comprehensive, like, we're just not doing this anymore. This is absurd. This is nonsense. And anybody pushing it, needs to be held to account for it. Again, I'm talking to Scott Herndon. You can follow him on X at Herndon for Idaho, where you've posted some of this information. The website is the same, Herndon for Idaho.com. Help expand out a little bit. I mean, what do you think is really behind this? I mean, do you really think that this is just, you know, this phenomenon that happened to crop up. And we've seen that it's peaked recently and started to go down. I mean, what do you think this symbolizes, you know, in a wider societal way? Like, what is it that's drawing people to this? Why are people so disconnected with reality that they not only accept this, but will, like, fight for it? What do you think the transgender phenomenon really means for America?
Well, I think the transgender phenomenon basically came out of the LGBTQ culture and the movement to progress LGBTQ rights. Now, what is at the core of the question? What's at the core is the question of what is fundamental truth. Charlie Kirk was really good when he would go to campus and he'd say, look, everybody has some foundation of truth. What is yours? And I think the LGBTQ movement and this transgender, gender dysphoric movement is about not acknowledging that we have one creator and that there's one source of truth. And so essentially at its core, it's rebellion against truth. It's rebellion against biology. It's rebellion against science. It's ultimately it's rebellion against God. And this has been part of the, as long as humans have been on Earth, they've pushed the envelope of, do I want to obey certain realities that are in life? And ultimately, then, if there are realities that are based in truth, then there's accountability to a creator. And America was founded by mostly by people that had a Christian ideology. And so that's where we had our foundation in truth. That's what the common law, that was the foundation of our laws in this country. That was essentially the foundation of our culture in this country. Western civilization is a Judeo-Christian culture. And I think where this came from is that in public school, we pushed God out of the public schools. Most people go to public school for their education. And this and public schools have been a hotbed for advancing LGBTQ-friendly ideology. And I think that's where the problem has been. And then I think social media has magnified the ability to push out whatever messaging people want to push out on this front. And I think that's why we've seen such a rapid advance in the whole transgender ideology over the last 15 years. That's really the time that social media came online. And then the last 10 years, they've really been advancing this concept because what they want people to do is turn away from truth. They want us to believe a lie. We saw it during COVID. We see it with transgender ideology. So it's sort of a consistent theme of those who oppose truth, ultimately.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, I always feel bad for the parents that don't know what's going on. They, you know, they're just trying to raise their kid. And one day their kid starts saying, well, I think I'm a girl. And they go, well, this is kind of weird. And they go talk to the teacher or whatever. And they say, well, you know, it's best just to confirm them and go along with them. And they just think they're doing the right thing. They just want their kid to be happy. They have no idea the kid's being indoctrinated into this. The kid's being, you know, either seduced by like weirdos on TikTok or his teacher is telling them. And we've heard stories where they're, you know, well, this kid will stay back during recess. All the other kids will go, but he'll stay back and put a dress on. I mean, it's creepy beyond belief, but people don't realize. They think this is just, I'm just accepting. People feel this way and I want them to, you know, feel who they really are. And they think they're being nice. They don't realize this is an attack. This is a deliberate attack against you. And it's being perpetrated by these propagandists that are lying to your children. People don't understand that. And so I think they're able to be led down this, you know, this path to destruction by being told this is what you do if you're a good person. You accept this. You don't hate the person for how they are. And I don't hate the person for how they are, but I also don't want them in the locker room. And there's nothing inconsistent about that belief. So what do you want people to know, like parents to know? If they maybe somebody thinks this is overblown or who cares, like what would you say to them to say, no, this is something you should be concerned about?
Yeah, I would say that this is real. That's the first thing I want parents to know. And it's every school in America. It's every community in America where this ideology is being advanced. Because if your kid has access to a smartphone and the internet, and certainly if they're in school, they're seeing this ideology. And the reason it's such a hook for them is because kids in particular have a strong need, all humans do at a certain level, to feel accepted. They want to be liked. They want to be accepted. And so the message of accepting gender ideology, the idea that you can just be a different biological sex, the message behind it is we want that love means affirmation. But the reality is that's not true. Love is telling someone the truth. And the problem if we affirm people in a lie In the long run, the reality is the LGBTQ movement is very destructive because God really did design us to be in male-female relationships, monogamous relationships, traditional families, have a lot of kids. I've had eight with my wife. I've been married to her for dozens of years. And that's where you're going to find true happiness. And you're going to find true happiness walking in the truth, walking in obedience to God. And so if we affirm the lie, they're going to find out later on that there's no happiness there. I have a cousin who is a lesbian, and they were actually involved in a murder. I can tell you about multiple LGBTQ people that in extended family or friends of family that I know, and they have seen nothing but unhappiness walking in a lie. And so the parents need to know that we don't want to affirm people in untruths. Doesn't mean we don't be kind to them when we're telling them the truth. And that was one of the great things about Charlie Kirk. He was very friendly. You don't have to be mean. We're not being mean when we say we don't want a man in the girls' locker room. We're being protective of our females. Society should be noble. It should be honorable. It should protect the weakest and most vulnerable among us. And certainly our girls are, compared to a man, are vulnerable. We want to protect them, and we don't want to affirm untruths. So this is what parents need to know. It's in your culture around you. It could happen at your YMCA. It could be happening in your public school if you don't have a law like we do in Idaho. You need to be on the lookout for it, and then you need to push back on it. That's what parents need to know.
Exactly. I love that you said that at the end. And there's a video that went viral earlier this week. And again, it's just strange that this is cropping up over and over again when we haven't heard too much about this for the last couple of months. Maybe everybody went sort of into hiding with Trump, and now they're like coming back out. I don't know what it is, but the video went viral earlier this week of a woman who was a black woman in a gym in New York, and she's screaming and yelling and going, "There's a man in the locker room." And it's like, yes, this is what we need. Don't be quiet about this. You know, you have to be peaceful. You know, obviously you shouldn't commit violence or, you know, vandalize anything or anything, but you certainly shouldn't stay quiet. You know, we have an issue where we're polite, we're Christian. We just want to go, "Hey, I think there's a man in there." And this is kind of, but you got to get loud. You got to let people know what's going on. You got to make noise, because that's the only way anything gets solved. At least that's my opinion. Would you agree, sir?
Well, I'll give you a good point, Harrison. That would be excellent, because what if when Jenny Hook saw this man in the locker room, she came outside of the locker room and got all the good men and women that are there that know the truth and obey the truth and would be offended by this to say, "Hey, let's stop everything that we're doing and demand that this man leave this locker room right now." That if they did that at the YMCA, and you could be polite and do that, but just stop the action at the YMCA and say, "Hey, management, we need you to remove this person right now."
Yep.
If you did that at every YMCA when this came up, I guarantee the YMCA is going to take the path of least resistance, and they're going to change their corporate policy.
100%. And again, just as you point out, it's nice to tell people the truth. The nice thing to do is to tell people the truth, and there is nothing meaner or more vicious than taking, you know, a young girl who's in, you know, vulnerable and going through changes, you know, in middle school, and saying, "Come with us." Really, you're uncomfortable because you're actually a boy. The reason you don't feel like you fit in with your friends, that's because you're not with us. Come with us and we'll show you the right way. And then just mutilate them and you know, change their lives forever. It is brutal. It is vicious. It is mean to go along with that. It's nice to tell the truth. And I really think that's a way to put it. Thank you so much for being with us. Scott Herndon at Herndon for Idaho, herndonforidaho.com. Thank you so much, and I hope we see a positive change through all of this, sir.
I hope so as well. Thanks for having me on, Harrison. Hopefully we get the word out and things change for the better.
Absolutely, and of course the article again is on InfoWars. Idaho YMCA allows man in women's locker room. Share that around. Tell your friends and vote Scott Herndon if you're in Idaho. herndonforidaho.com.
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes 5-6 times when I'm talking to him, please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago, and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, "The Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated." Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, "Oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent." Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack, in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence, because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we could clean up San Francisco and L.A. anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, ha, 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 ha. And as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, ah! And they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 billion people, and all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it, and they believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. Support us, of course, at thealexjonesstore.com. I got some more videos to show you here in the final segment of the show. We're going to return to the topic that we were discussing before our guest, which was the ongoing civil war on the right, which is, I guess, one way to think about it. Some more footage is coming out. Some more videos are dropping with Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly. I think Tucker Carlson should run for president right now. I think he should start right now. And you should say, I am going to be the challenger in 2028. Maybe J.D. Vance, maybe Ron DeSantis will challenge him. We actually have a lot of good options on the right. A little silver lining. When you look at the Democrats, it's like, who do they have? Oof, right? It's just, it doesn't look good on that side. On our side, we got J.D. Vance, we got Ron DeSantis, we got Tucker Carlson. Like, there's really a pretty deep bench of people. But I think Tucker Carlson should say, I'm running for president in 2028. And I'm going to be the America First president. And if you want to try to preempt me, then you got to start passing America First legislation. You got to start imposing the America First agenda because otherwise I'm swooping in and I'm going to steal your throne. I think the heat needs to be lit under the Republicans, and I think that would be an effective way to do it. I also think Tucker Carlson just seems right about everything most of the time, so I think he'd make a great president. But at the very least, I think he should announce, in order to light the fire under the Republicans, so they know, hey, we better start doing something for the American people or else we're going to lose the control that we've had. Because what they're doing now, I can't remember who I was listening to saying this, but anyway, it's obvious, is that what's going on right now is about control of MAGA in the future, right? It's about what happens after Trump. And does the MAGA agenda continue, or do we revert back to the way it was before? Actually, I think it was Tucker Carlson that was saying this. Actually, I think I'm quoting or, you know, referencing Tucker Carlson in the interview that he did yesterday with a challenger to Lindsey Graham, because he's talking about how these swamp creatures like Lindsey Graham just stay in office round after round after round. They keep getting elected, even though they are so fundamentally at odds with the desires of their constituents. So the question is, once Trump is gone after these 4 years, is it reverting back to Mitt Romney and Lindsey Graham, or is J.D. Vance and Tucker Carlson going to pick up the torch and run with it? And the establishment is entirely dedicated right now to making sure that we revert back to that paradigm we all suffered under for my entire life up till President Trump, which was the left wing on the march, aggressive, getting what they want, getting things done, using governmental power, and the right wing constantly hamstrung by our own, inadequate and not always applied beliefs and, you know, fundamental, foundational policies. It's really an important question. It's about who becomes the leader of the free world in the future and what America looks like in the next 4 years. So I think Tucker Carlson has his finger on the pulse. I think he understands much more than just about anybody else in media or politics, outside of like the dissident side, outside of us at InfoWars and, you know, Nick Fuentes. Like, yeah, Tucker Carlson gets it, and he's a great spokesperson for this side of the aisle. And he has shown himself capable of standing up against the overwhelming pressure that has been imposed upon him. In a way, they're doing Tucker an immense favor. And we've been laughing at the fact that they're targeting Tucker this whole time, because why Tucker? Why would you choose Tucker? At least with Nick Fuentes, you can take his clips out of context and make him look like a bad guy. You can't even do that with Tucker. So you're trying to tell us that we have to destroy a well-respected, well-reasoned, you know, very congenial and you know, friendly guy. You're telling us he's the worst thing in the world and we have to destroy the Republican Party if it means we can't get, or, you know, either get him out or just destroy the whole party. Like, this is absurd. This is ridiculous. This is strategically retarded. And I think what it's really doing is showing all of us that Tucker Carlson has what it takes. He's got the ability to maintain his course regardless of what he's being bombarded with. So in a way, they're really doing a disservice to their own interests, because all they're doing, the more they push on Tucker, the more it shows he's got the metal and the steel to deal with it. So, you know, they're fools, they're hysterical, they're panicking, and they're making mistakes as a consequence of that. So let's go to, we've got two clips from Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly here. The first one is Tucker Carlson putting Megyn Kelly in her place, because apparently she made some unkind comments about Nick Fuentes, and Tucker Carlson wasn't having any of it. Let's watch.
Nick Fuentes has said a long list of very vile things.
Big time, including attacking my dad, which was the most vile of all, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I personally have watched videos of him questioning the Holocaust, likening it to baking cookies in the oven, and there's no way you could have gotten to 6 million, seems to be his theory. He seems to think that we've way overstated the number of Jews killed in the Holocaust. He's ripped on poor Usha Vance in the most offensive terms, which so what do you say to those people? Say, why didn't you raise any of that?
You know, do your own interview the way that you want to do it. You're not my editor. Buzz off. I mean, I don't know. You want to go yell at Nick Fuentes? I'll give you a cell. Call him and go sit and yell at him and feel virtuous or whatever. That's up to you. I got the same thing with Putin. Why aren't you yelling at him? Okay, why? So I can show that I'm a good person? I care about what my wife thinks, my children think, and God thinks, and that's it. I don't need to prove that I'm a good person to you. You may think I'm a terrible person. Okay, I'm just doing my thing, which is I want to understand what people think. And I'm committed to that. And if you don't like it, don't watch. That's my view.
Was that so hard? Was that so hard, folks? That's all it takes. It's literally that easy. Are you listening, Jeffrey, or whatever your name was? Who was the guy from the Heritage Foundation? Kevin. Hey, Kevin, are you listening, Kev? Are you listening, Kevy boy? Tucker Carlson just showed you how you can stand up to literally anything. These people don't have a gun to your head. These people don't have, you know, your children in a cage over a shark tank. Like, what are they going to do to you? They're going to bitch. They're going to whine. They're going to complain. They're going to text you. I've already told people how to do this. I explained the call. When the call comes in, you say, oh, okay, oh, I had no idea. Oh, wow, yeah, that's wow. Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Click, and then you just do what you're going to do anyway. That's what you should do. That's the way this goes. And by the way, just record it. Record it, release it, share the text messages. Can you believe what these people are doing? Because nobody likes this. Nobody's on the side of the bullies, and that's all these people are. Nobody's on the side of the coercion. Nobody's on the side of the blackmail. Nobody's on their side. Everybody is looking for somebody who has the balls to stand up to them. We talked about this yesterday. Why did Mamdani get elected? Yes, he was, you know, anti-Israel, and there's a big anti-Israel contingent. But more than that, it's the fact that he stood his ground, that he had an unpopular opinion, and when he had five different people shouting at him, but do you believe Israel should be a Jewish state? Say it should be a Jewish state. He just went, no. And now you got a whole parks full of women who don't even know why they're voting for him. They just know they like him. Why do you think that is? It's not their policy. They don't even know what he believes. It's not his, you know, economic intelligence. They're all dumb as rocks. What they know is that he seems like a nice guy that isn't able to be bent and defeated and pressured. That's the secret sauce, folks. It's not that complicated. You think that you're like saving yourself trouble by going along with this. Have we not learned this lesson over and over and over again? You know what would have been easy? Just taking the vaccine. Yeah, they wouldn't have had to bother you. You wouldn't have had meetings at work. You wouldn't have had to wear a mask anymore. It would have been so easy just to take the vaccine. Do we choose the easy route every time, or do we choose the right route? Do we do a thing that's slightly more difficult because the end run, you end up significantly better? See, it would have been easy to take the vaccine, but then your heart would have exploded and you'd be dead. So you did the right thing by taking the hard path. Where is Kevin Roberts right now? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Heritage Foundation didn't even recover from this because of how outraged people are at his spinelessness, at his quisling behavior. You think what you're doing is the easy way out. You are only setting yourself up for failure. You're only making your future so much more difficult by not standing up to these people. I've told you, nobody calls me. Nobody tells me not to have people on because they tried once and it didn't work, so they stop. That's how this goes. Now, they might bankrupt you. You know, maybe they are, you know, holding monetary blackmail over you, basically. But you know what would happen if you came clean with that? Like, what do you think would happen if Charlie Kirk had come out and made a video and said, guys, I just lost $2 million donor because I refuse to co-sign the genocide going on in Israel? He wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say it that way. But what if he came out and said, my donors are telling me to express this thought that I don't believe, and because I'm not going along with Israel, because I'm asking these questions, because I'm having Tucker Carlson on my stage, I just lost $2 million. I'm calling on the TPUSA audience. Can you make up that difference for me? I'd donate $100. Who wouldn't donate $100? Who wouldn't donate their spare change or whatever? Do you realize how many millions of people in this country are desperate to serve and help with an organization that shows it's truly principled, truly has their interests in mind? You think you're doing the right thing by, you know, and you know, Charlie did do the right thing. They took away the $2 million. They said, you know, disinvite Tucker Carlson or we'll take your $2 million away. And he said, screw you. And so they took the $2 million away. He did the right thing, but he lost $2 million. He should have come clean with that. He should have exposed that person and called on TPUSA to make up the shortfall, and they would have in spades. Do people not know this? Are you not aware of the world that we're in right now? Are you not aware that every human being can have a direct connection with you through social media? That you don't have to rely on the media. You don't have to rely on news stations or newspapers or books or publishers or anything. You don't have to rely on anything. Tucker gets it. Well, where is everybody else? Why is Kevin from the Heritage Foundation or Donald Trump or any of these other people, they act like we're still in this paradigm where, like, these people have this incredible control and can destroy your life with a single report on national news. Nobody cares, folks. Nobody cares about what they say anymore. Nobody buys it. The more they attack you, the more popular you become. How are people not understanding this yet? Have we not taught you the lesson? Have we not led the way? Have we not blazed the trail that's now just an open road for you to travel down? Tucker Carlson's obviously falling behind. Where's everybody else? You can't free the country if you can't even free yourself, okay? If you can't even free yourself from the coercion, if you can't even free yourself from the pressure campaigns, how are you going to save anybody else, folks? It is the ultimate simplicity to just say no. Just say no. That's what we need. We need to bring back the old DARE program. Just say no to social pressure. Just say no to self-imposed censorship. It's really not that complicated. Let's go to the next clip. This is Tucker talking about Representative Randy Fine. Randy Fine, Big Fat Randy Fine, we like to call him. He's a big fat Jewish guy who thinks that all Palestinians deserve to starve to death, and once said that he didn't wash his hand after he shook Netanyahu's hand until he could touch the heads of his children, because that's how much he worships this baby-killing, genocidal maniac, Netanyahu. Here's Tucker Carlson saying what he thinks about Big Fat Randy Fine. Let's watch.
The main criticism, as I understand it, has been, well, yes, platforming. They say that. I don't accept platforming as a valid objection.
Yeah. What is that, a verb? By the way, you take a noun and you make it into a verb and nobody says anything? As a former editor, I say no.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. Honestly, but as far as I know, Nick Fuentes hasn't eaten anyone. You know, I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer ate people, and he was platformed by Diane Sawyer.
We have a sitting member of Congress. I spoke to the Speaker of the House about this today. We have a sitting member of Congress from Florida called Randy Fine, who was literally texted or put on Twitter, we should kill them all, every single one. Someone texted a picture of a dead baby, and he laughs at it. Mm. And it's like, this guy's a lawmaker who's appropriating money to a military committing genocide, and that's cool? It's not cool.
No.
And let's just be honest. That is much worse than anything Nick Fuentes has said, period.
So the main pushback has been when you had Jeffrey Dahmer or the Ku Klux Klan or et cetera, these journalists went after them, like exposed the terrible things. And Nick Fuentes has said a long list of very vile things.
Right, big time.
That's including the clip that we saw. So we already know that one. And, you know, they're acting... It's not that complicated, folks. They're not, you know, they don't treat Nick Fuentes like Jeffrey Dahmer because Jeffrey Dahmer didn't have a compelling political case to make. Nick Fuentes is not the same as Saddam Hussein or, you know, Ted Bundy, because those were maniacs that were just trying to get one over on people, and you can see through it, and they're convicted murderers. So what's the harm of interviewing them? They're behind bars, and nobody's going to be convinced to be a murderer because of them, right? Doesn't matter how charismatic they are. They're not going to, you know, go on TV and go, let me tell you how fun murdering was. And a bunch of people going, maybe I'll try that. Yeah, I think they don't care. There's no influence. Yeah, there's a reason the first time I shook Netanyahu's hand, I did not wash it until I could touch the heads of my children. The redheaded libertarian, what? I'm sorry, what? What's the reason, I wonder? This is ridiculous. So you know, going back to the Heritage Foundation, they sent out an email. Again, just going over it. So, like, they were trying to cancel the speechwriter of Kevin Roberts, who's the head of the Heritage Foundation, because the Heritage Foundation refused to cancel Tucker Carlson for interviewing Nick Fuentes. So Tucker Carlson interviews Nick Fuentes, then the Heritage Foundation sides with Tucker Carlson, then they want to fire the people at the Heritage Foundation for siding with Tucker Carlson for interviewing Nick Fuentes. Do you see how poisonous this pattern is? That you have to denounce him or else you are now a Nazi, even if you interview him and disagree with him. So the reason they don't want Nick Fuentes to be interviewed is not because he's particularly dangerous. It's because he's particularly convincing. It's because he has an ideology that opposes theirs, and they're trying to limit exposure to him because they know that in the free marketplace of ideas, they lose, he wins. It's not a threat of Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy's not going to be able to make such a compelling case for raping and murdering college girls that suddenly everybody thinks that's an okay thing to do. That was never a threat. Nick Fuentes is a threat because his political ideas are powerful, because the spirit he represents is rising and is seeking to replace them in the power structure. And so they're fighting back against him because he's a threat. They're silencing him because they have no arguments against him. If they thought that they could beat him in an argument, if he was so repulsive and so stupid and so whatever, then they would be happy to have him on because they would smack him down. What happens when people debate Nick Fuentes? They first of all end up liking the guy. Look at Dinesh D'Souza. And they end up getting blown out of the water because they're wrong and he's right. It's a completely different situation than a Jeffrey Dahmer. And I would think that would be obvious. From Audrey Fallberg, here's an email that the co-chairs of the Heritage Foundation's National Task Force to Combat Anti-Semitism sent to task force members on their new demands to Kevin Roberts in the wake of Heritage's Tucker Carlson Fuentes fallout. It comes as task force members continue to resign in protest of Heritage's alliance with Tucker Carlson. They're allied now. They're like an axis of evil. Quote, if we are not able to come to an agreement soon, the relationship between the Heritage Foundation and the task force will be irrevocably harmed, the letter warns. So, again, we just got to keep going back to it, because the other day when we were covering the first sort of backlash against Tucker and Nick Fuentes, I had to keep reminding people, remember, all that happened here is that he talked to Nick Fuentes. That was all. I mean, they were acting like, you know, they're out there plotting, you know, designing new gas chambers. Like, it's ridiculous. No, it was an interview. It was a very reasonable interview. It was a very factual interview. It was an interview that you would be hard-pressed to find anything offensive or out of line in the entire thing. Now, that was the initial spark. Now it spirals so out of control. It's not just that Nick Fuentes talked to Tucker Carlson. It's that the Heritage Foundation refused to condemn Tucker Carlson. So because the Heritage Foundation refused to condemn Tucker Carlson for interviewing Nick Fuentes, now the, National Task Force to Combat Anti-Semitism, that's a bit of a mouthful, I'll say Jews, now the Jews have decided to mount a pressure campaign to demand that the Heritage Foundation be completely obsequious and slavish to them. And they are demands. They are making demands. First, they say, remove the video. They say, these are the recommendations that we give you. These are the recommendations that if you fail to fulfill, you know, we will continue our massive attack against you. We will continue to burn your organization to the ground for daring to not respond to these lovely recommendations we want to give you. Removing the video that created the firestorm. So delete your video. I'll translate these. Removing the video that created the firestorm. Delete that video right now. An apology to those Christians and Jews who are steadfast members of the conservative movement and believe that Israel has a special role to play both biblically and politically. You apologize for disagreeing. It's not that they have a view and you have a view and you're both entitled to that view. It's that you are bad and wrong and you will apologize for disagreeing with them. Number three, condemnation of any content that Tucker Carlson has hosted or statements he has made without calling for his cancellation or an end to your friendship, but an acknowledgement that you and Tucker have disagreements, you disagree with him and what you disagree with him about. Like, who the hell are you people to make these demands? And who the hell is Kevin Roberts to give in to them? You absolute pussy. You absolute coward. You absolute woman. What is wrong with you? If somebody made a list of demands like this for me, how well do you think that would go? I'd have a field day with it. I'd have a lot of fun exposing it all. I'd have a lot of fun doing the exact opposite of whatever they told me. But what type of person calls themselves a conservative and then gives in to this type of blackmail and coercion? You feckless loser. And it goes on and on and on. All these freaking stupid demands. But the last one is the one at odds here with the Heritage Foundation and the people that work there and their foundational and religious beliefs. Their sixth demand, I'm sorry, their sixth friendly recommendation is the task force members would also like to host Shabbat dinners with the interns and junior staff of the Heritage in partnership with Heritage to host conversations on Judaism and the Judeo-Christian tradition. Yes, you must come participate in our religious indoctrination. We appreciate your attention on this matter. If we're not able to come to an agreement soon, the relationship between the Heritage Foundation and the task force will be irrevocably harmed. Okay. Why is there a task force? Why does it exist? And why would you want a relationship with these pushy, bully, coercive scum? Scum. And then they give in. And then they give in to this. And somebody at the Heritage Struggle Session said, you know, I'm a Christian. I don't know if I'd be comfortable going to a Shabbat dinner. Why would I, like, do I have to? Basically is all he asked. And now they're trying to cancel him and ban him and get him fired for merely saying, do we have to go to the Shabbat dinner? Which, of course, is absolutely a ridiculous violation of civil rights. You cannot have your company force you to go to religious indoctrination. This should be obvious, but they are trying to force that. And interestingly, the woman who invited to Shabbat dinner and then called the guy anti-Semitic for not wanting to go is Bethany S. Mandel. She says, the Shabbat dinner was mine. I did not demand it, Evan. I thought it would be nice. You're welcome to dinner at my home with my six kids if you prefer. My DMs are open. This is Evan Myers, who'd been credited with helping write Kevin Roberts' book and is reportedly involved in crafting his public statements, and said he worked on the video Robert filmed last Thursday. And he said his faith prevents him from attending a Shabbat dinner. And so they're calling him, anti-Semitic. But interestingly enough, the woman, Bethel, what's her name? Bethany S. Mandel, is a demon. She's a demon. She's a monster. She's a horrible person. Conservative columnist doubles down on shocking call for revenge against effing animals in Gaza. So she thinks the Palestinians are animals, but you have to go to her dinner and be nice.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to theyellowshowstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Yellow Shows Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheYellowShowStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, /25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment, midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
No! receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.